And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news that government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to a very special edition of the Inside Scoop, giving you a lot of information the government does not want you to know. You know, of course, that we have 160,000 troops in Iraq, and if you're really savvy, you know that we have another 100,000 or so mercenaries, private companies hired to do the job that our soldiers, we don't have enough to do or can't do or frankly could do if we had a draft. In any case, we have mercenaries all over the globe, and it's not just the war in Iraq. It's doing spy work. It's doing all kinds of secret things in the shadows that many of us don't know about. My guest today, my very special guest today, her name is R.J. Hillhouse, and she knows a lot about the secret networks that go on around the world. R.J. Hillhouse has run Cuban rum between East and West Berlin, smuggled jewels from the Soviet Union, and brags that she slipped through some of the world's tightest borders. From Uzbekistan to Romania, she's been followed, held at gunpoint, and interrogated. A number of foreign governments have solicited her for recruitment as a spy. She denies that any of them have succeeded. But the St. Louis Post-Dispatch wrote that she's truly like James Bond and Indiana Jones all rolled into one. She's a former professor, a Fulbright Fellow. She earned a PhD at the University of Michigan. She's fluent in several languages. And she's written a book called Outsourced. Now, Outsourced is a novel. It's supposedly fiction talking about the war in Iraq, the war on terror, and all the ways in which the United States government hands over to private companies some of the intelligence functions and military functions that you would think would belong to the CIA and the Army. She says it's fiction, but she also says, with a wink and a nod, that she couldn't write nonfiction on this topic or she would be censored. R.J. Hillhouse, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hello, Mark. Thank you for having me here. Delighted to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you. Someone rolled into one, James Bond and Indiana Jones, though it was interesting, one of your interviews, you note that you wouldn't act like James Bond because if he ordered a martini shaken, not stirred, he'd get noticed.
Yeah, you do not want to leave a footprint or a signature item like that. You've got to be the person who blends in, drinking the beer in the corner that nobody notices.
So tell me, I mean, how did you come from this experience? I don't hear an accent from you. You may just be very good at what you do, but running rum between East and West, are you from Eastern Europe?
No, actually, I'm from deep in the Ozarks. I'm a hillbilly ethnically.
Yeah, no, you sound like an American. That's why I'm wondering, how does an American from Missouri get into East European smuggling? I mean, it's not the kind of career choice most Missourians make.
Generally not. I was a student for over 6 years in East and Western Europe, and at the time I was actually sponsored by the East German government, and I had a stipend in nearly worthless East German marks. And like all the East Germans, I was looking at the glitter of West Berlin, too, and wondering how I could get over there, but how would I pay for myself once I was there?
So you were an American with like a scholarship in East Germany, something like that?
Yes, I've been sponsored by, at that time, it was called the League for Friendship of the People, the USAGDR Friendship Society, which is, of course, a propaganda organization.
And you were there in East Germany for how many years?
I was there off and on for several years. I couldn't really piece it all together.
Okay, so a lot of time. And I know you write the United States.
Moscow and former Soviet Union as well.
You write the United States thought you were a spy for them.
Yes. I've been on watch list because I used to get very special treatment whenever I'd fly back to the U.S. on a U.S. carrier.
Special treatment. Now, you have to describe what you mean by that.
I would go through all kinds of questioning to the point that I would just on both the European side by the airline security and then when going through customs on the U.S. side. So I was always singled out. Got to the point that it became so accustomed to it, I planned an extra 2 hours for that before. Any time. Oh, really?
So you're on every watch
list
imaginable.
Apparently they thought I was working for the Stasi, the East German secret police, because once the Soviet Union still existed, but once the East Germany had fallen, suddenly I quit getting this special treatment, which means the agency got a hold of my file at the Stasi and saw that I never did work for them.
Okay, so you have experience back during the Cold War. All right, we got that.
Yep.
But the world's changed a lot since then. As you know, the Soviet Union's gone. Russia, it may be dangerous, but we're mostly focusing on Islamic fundamentalism. What experience, what do you know about the current war on terror or war in Iraq?
I'm very, very knowledgeable about the current way problems within the CIA, currently how they're doing business and the role of private corporations, also the private military corporations. I have worked in researching outsourced with everything from boardroom executives to frontline mercenaries to frontline contract soldiers to spies, SEALs, just about every creature of the shadows there is.
Now, you do this as a reporter, as a researcher, as an author, just someone that's interested in it. Have you worked for these companies?
No, I haven't worked for any of these companies.
This is just your research interest.
Outsourced, and I also blog about these issues, the outsourcing of national security, at thespywhobuildme.com.
Thespywhobuildme.com.
So I put my skills to work, from networking and finding out things that people really couldn't get to before, which I did at the time in Eastern Europe, because no one can find out anything about the CIA. Obviously, they don't air their own internal issues. And so I put those old skills to use to penetrate the agency and find out what was going on.
Well, let's talk in detail
in order to write this novel.
Let's talk in detail about what's going on, because that's why you're here, and we're happy to have you. In terms of outsourcing, let's start with the CIA. I mean, how much outsourcing is done? When we think of the CIA spying on people around the globe with spies or with surveillance, we think of mostly CIA agents. But I think what you're saying is there are a lot of people that are contracted out to do this kind of work.
The actual field work, boots on the ground, you're going to find that the majority of that is done by private corporations.
The majority of it.
The majority.
Done by private corporations.
Now, I write conservatively, I write only the National Clandestine Service, but it's really throughout the agency, and conservatively I write it's over 50%. But many people I've talked to say it is closer to 70% of the National Clandestine Service that has been outsourced.
Now, when I think about what CIA activities are and sort of what's come out in public and what we sort of think of as a spy agency, I certainly think of CIA people approaching some, say, Pakistani or Afghani or local citizen of Iraq on the ground and saying, hey, we'll give you money if you tell us what's going on. That's not what you're talking about. You're talking about America.
That's what I'm talking about. Absolutely. The private corporations are running agents. They are collecting intelligence, both through like the NSA, what we see the data mining that's going on, as well as through the CIA, in doing exactly what you said, providing private case officers who are running agents.
So now, again, the most famous would be Blackwater, Halliburton, Kellogg Brown Root. I assume those are the main ones.
Actually, those are not doing any of this work. Doing private military. Blackwater does private military work. It doesn't, which is the soldiers on the ground. But they're not doing the actual intelligence work. The intel work is being done by corporations, some of the big ones, such as Booz Allen Hamilton, SAIC, Raytheon, Lockheed Martin, many of the big defense contractors. They're involved in smaller shops that are run by former CIA case officers, such as Abraxas, Spectal. Others would include Northrop Grumman.
Well, that's interesting because all of these agencies, well, I don't know about all of them, but a number of them that you name, Raytheon, Lockheed, Northrop Grumman, these are all defense contractors with huge amounts, billions, tens of billions of dollars, probably hundreds of billions of dollars, in contracts with the U.S. government to sell them all kinds of weapon systems. And so if they're running our intelligence programs, I would think they would have an incentive to argue that some threat is very dangerous, or perhaps I could imagine Northrop Grumman saying the nature of this threat is such that only the X-25 special kill Martian factor machine is exactly what you need, because after all, our intelligence tells you have to buy our products. Is there a conflict of interest there?
Yeah, well, let's hope they're a little more sophisticated than that, and I believe...
Obviously, I mean, I'm talking about something, I'm making it up, but I assume...
You hit the absolutely what I'm very concerned about, because these are the big defense contractors. They obviously have a vested interest in certain weapon systems being funded, and now we've come full circle that they're not only providing the weapons to respond to threats, they're not only actually running many of the weapons in the field, in the theater, responding to threats, but now they're gathering and analyzing the intelligence that leads to identification of the threat.
So tell me specifically what they do. They're taking data from emails, from satellites, from private spies, too. Tell me exactly what they are doing.
Yes. It would include all of the above that you just named. It depends on what different companies are doing for different agencies. You know, the NSA, for example, the National Security Agency, which is has been implicated in the domestic spying and listens to conversations of targeted suspects abroad. Most of it, majority of its work, is done by private corporations. In fact, the government doesn't even have the capacity at this point to be able to sift through and sort through the various databases, conversations, the pattern analysis that's going on, all the traffic analysis, that's all being performed by private corporations.
It's interesting because
the NSA is so outsourced that its administration is even outsourced. Contractors run contractors in this new world. And this isn't the fiction of outsourced. This is the reality of today's America.
Well, that's what's so scary to me, because one of the things that when I talk about surveillance, and we've talked about it a lot on the Inside Scoop, and I have a number of listeners that are worried, and I said, look, they're spying on all of us, but don't worry. I know the government doesn't have enough people to listen in to every phone call and the trillions of emails that are sent daily. But I guess if you contract it out to a number of private corporations, they can watch most of us. Let me ask you this. McConnell said today, that there were only 100 domestic phone calls or so that they were watching. They were actually watching thousands of foreign stuff, but only 100 or so. That just sounds unbelievable. I don't believe him, but I can't prove it. I mean, do you have any information on that?
I don't have any information on it, but I can tell you about the way some of the things work. It wouldn't surprise me if he's completely telling the truth with it, because you're absolutely right, they don't have enough people to listen in to all the phone calls. But what they do have the technology to do is to keep a record of all patterns of phone calls and patterns of email contacts and be able to do analyses of these patterns to see who is linked to whom.
But it seems to be a strange science. I mean, you know, you check everybody's emails, and I sort of imagine in an unsophisticated fashion, you know, they look for the word bomb, so someone says she's the bomb, and suddenly they think you're a terrorist. I mean, the carnivore program, for example, is supposed to use certain words. How much are they actually following terrorists, and how much is this false positives where they're following ordinary citizens?
Well, they're doing their best, because there's such volume out there, they're doing their best to follow terrorist suspects and to try to keep the country safe and to get it as targeted as they can, and in order they'd be wasting their time and totally missing the target if they didn't have it as honed as possible. So in that sense, I don't think they're looking for people who say, she's the bomb.
Okay, but the main problem is, of course, who are they accountable to? If Raytheon, I assume, has every incentive to tell the government, we're succeeding very well, we caught 28 terrorists or 200 terrorists, whatever it is, whether they are or they aren't, because if they don't, they won't get another contract. Is that fair?
Well, not necessarily the way it works everywhere. I mean, I heard a recent story in the Pentagon of where Booz Allen Hamilton had a contract, totally screwed it up, and that same agency in the Pentagon hired him back for a similar project.
Tell me how they screwed it up. I'm curious.
I can't go into the details on that one.
Oh, okay.
There are very few giant players in this that control everything. And that's how the whole contracting is set up. And they feel like they often can't work without those.
I mean, let's go through the details.
The Associate Director of National Intelligence said in response to my Washington Post article that he admitted that they can't spy and they can't do their job without contractors.
So let's get some specifics that you can tell us about. I know you write an incredible, by the way, your book has been very highly reviewed, and I recommend it to everyone. You can get it at Amazon. There's a link from my website, and there's a number of very positive reviews. Just frankly, as a work of fiction, much less as a work of carefully concealed fact. But tell us some stories that are factual, that are not fictional, that you can tell us about, versus how private corporations are conducting surveillance.
That's getting a little bit too specific for how they're conducting. I mean, I'm not privy to how any of the domestic surveillance would be would be functioning.
Well, I mean, part of it, I mean, a lot of us can sort of guess at. I mean, data mining, for example. I assume they have access to servers that push everybody's email around.
Yeah, I assume something like that goes on. I mean, my assumption would be that the actual data, the telephone companies, is warehoused with private corporations by giving, you know, so it's handed out to private corporations, so it doesn't fall under the regulations that affect telecommunications companies that would prevent this type of thing going on. And the data warehouse companies, well, they don't have those same restrictions, and so they can't look for various patterns and links among phone companies. I assume there's probably something similar with email, but I really don't know.
I mean, RJ, let me just get to the heart of this. You've written in fiction because I think you're concerned about writing some of this as fact. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I'm very concerned about writing some things like the role of private corporate. I wouldn't write as fact at this point the role of private corporations in running the black sites, for example. But I'm quite comfortable in discussing that in fiction.
The blog sites?
The black sites.
The black sites. What's the black
sites? The secret CIA prisons that President Bush said we no longer had any detainees in a year ago this month, or I think that was in September. Which was.
Are you afraid you'd be prosecuted if you gave details?
I was just very uncomfortable in going into this any further.
Because you don't want
to
give the terrorists.
I'm happy to talk about the specifics.
Okay, no, I'm just trying to figure out, that's fine, I'm just trying to figure out why. Is it because you don't want to tell terrorists how we're doing things? Is that fair?
Oh, there's no danger whatsoever. It's not going to affect national security. Whether terrorists would know that it's private corporations that are going to hold them, where they're getting questioned by special interrogation methods, or whether it's the U.S. government that's doing it. I don't think that affects national security at all.
So if it doesn't affect national security, why the reluctance?
I'm really not going to go into the details of that.
You don't have to go into the details. I was just trying to figure out what was holding you back, whether it was fear of prosecution or things like that. I mean, I know you can't leak certain things. That is against the law. Let's go back, though, then to the private corporations, which are doing most of this work. They are accountable to their CEOs and their shareholders, I assume.
Yes, correct.
And their CEOs, do they have security clearances?
Oh, yeah. A large portion, or most everyone in some of the corporations, have security clearances. And they're accountable. Of course, they're accountable to the U.S. government in the sense that they have a contract, and if they want follow-on contracts, they have to do a decent job with it. But they are also conflicts of interest because, exactly as you said, they are accountable to their shareholders, and they're accountable to the owners of the corporation. And so there are times where I'm sure there are going to be conflicts of interest, particularly because these serve other clients. Many of them have corporate clients. Many of them have, as clients, foreign governments.
How much congressional oversight is there over these mercenaries?
Not enough, very clearly. I mean, there are some real issues that Congress needs to take up, such as products of private corporations, analytical products, and what private corporations gather on the ground are incorporated into the president's daily brief. Our most important, most sensitive national security document that really runs the national security agenda that the president's briefed on every morning. And those products are never differentiated as coming from different corporations, but are...
So the president doesn't even know that it's CIA or a mercenary that found the information?
Whether it's CIA or someone working for Raytheon or Lockheed or Abraxas or elsewhere, there's no way to differentiate because that daily brief comes to him with the seal of the Director of National Intelligence. Whereas if they're really going to be honest about it, it should look more like NASCAR. Corporate
like NASCAR.
Yeah. You know, you've got the different, you have Spectel, you've got a Abraxas seal, you've got the corporate logo from...
So you know where this stuff is coming from.
So you at least know where it's coming from. Because at this point, it is treated as this is the work product of the U.S. government, which it is indirectly in that the U.S. government signs off on it in the end, it contracts for it. But they can't really tell where it's all coming from. And at this point, there's no way to see if someone is trying to, let's say, tweak the national intelligence agenda, which these companies are spanning, or most of them are spanning the agencies throughout the intelligence community. So there is the potential there to plant things or to emphasize different things in the direction that you would want it to. and move the national security agenda.
I've had a number
and
of
Congress
veterans.
Is not looking into how can we fix this, because there's some very there the tools are there. I mean, the type of stuff they use for some of the surveillance traffic analysis patterns used in counterintelligence and in counterterrorism could actually be applied.
Well, I've had a number of Iraqi war, American veterans of the Iraq war come back, and many of them complained about the contractors. They said, you know, we did the job they did, only we did it for about a fifth the cost. You know, they would pay them $300,000 and they'd pay us $60,000. And frankly, we worked harder and we followed orders, and they would get in trouble. They would go off in Fallujah on their own mission, and then we'd have to send, you know, thousands of troops to defend them. So the troops were saying, hey, we could have done this exact same thing for much cheaper cost. And that's, I guess, the heart of my question. Can't we hire CIA agents and American military to do these exact jobs for less cost and more accountability?
We could definitely do it for more accountability, but the problem is that the CIA is in a personnel crisis right now. They're not able to do it. They have lost so many staff, and they have such high turnover, they're not able to pull this back into house. That's going to be the big challenge facing the next 5 to 7 years, and it's not clear if they're going to be able to do it. Once the outsourcing started, and it started for good reasons, actually, the quick response to 9/11, but once they found that people could be paid up to twice the amount in the private sector as they were making working for the U.S. government, there was a big spy drain, and the most competent people really left the agency, except some people right before retirement, very good people, stayed on. And all the middle level and the entry level have been decimated. Over half of the U.S. government employees of the CIA right now have less than 5 years' experience. And within
what you're saying is that because we pay these mercenaries twice as much or three times as much as we pay a CIA agent, or in the military context, we pay Blackwater two or three times what we pay a soldier on the ground, that Americans are saying, why should I work for the CIA when I can work for Blackwater and make two or three times the same money and do the same job?
Yeah, different companies involved, but more or less that's part of the problem. And also because of some of the personnel problems within the agency, having to follow overall civil service, or not civil service, follow U.S. government personnel policies, have led some great frustration, too, and there not being the adequate compensation and promotion. So one can look at it, they're not getting paid market rate within the government, so people look at it like, why should I go work for them and have some of these bureaucratic hoops and office politics to deal with that you're protected from within the private corporations?
So wouldn't the answer be, in the case of the CIA, for example, to up the salaries for agents and to decrease the payments to the mercenaries so that we pay the mercenary exactly the same that we pay a CIA agent, and that would stop the drain and get more people into the accountable portion of our government and less into the unaccountable private sector? Is that fair?
Well, it's a lot more complex than that, because we're at war right now, and we're at war on multiple fronts. So the need is there, and things can't get disrupted at that level. If you start cutting salaries, cutting people out of the private sector, and they follow, they have the various payment schedules, GS schedules, as to what people would be paid at various levels and when promotions and promotion reviews occur. So there's not that flexibility to be able to reward people market salaries, at least within current personnel policies. They did attempt to put a ceiling on the amount that people could earn. I think it's $130,000, $135,000 now in the private sector.
I want to turn the show over to our callers. First, we're going to take a break and give folks a chance to call in. This is a once-in-a-lifetime guest, folks, so please take advantage of her. The toll-free number is 877-4HEAD-ON, 877-443-2366. You'll be right back with R.J. Hillhouse, the author of Outsourced, right after this.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
It wasn't exactly planes, trains, and automobiles on Head On with Bob Kincaid.
This is what the Bush administration Justice Department didn't want you to see back in 2001. They took out and they huffed the marker a little bit, and then they went, oh, cool. And they wiped out the name where it says, the plane was chartered either by the Saudi Arabian royalty family or Osama bin Laden. Somebody's got to call up and say, good afternoon. Thank you for calling Ryan International Flights. How may I help you?
Hello. This is Osama bin Laden, and I would like to rent a Boeing 727. Do you have one handy?
Just a moment. Let me chat. It's a Mr. bin Laden wants to know if we got a 727. Do we, Harry, do we have a 727?
Yeah, we got a 727 just sitting there on the lot. Going cheap.
There's nothing here. Nothing to look at. Keep moving. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. The 6'7" Arab with the portable dialysis machine and the white robes.
Head On with Bob Kincaid, weeknight, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern, only on the Head On Radio Network.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected? Did you feel scared? Proud? Relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business. Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS. What if you established your own path? One that others might follow. Would you rather make your own way? Or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. My guest is R.J. Hillhouse. She is the author of Outsourced. It is a fictional novel that talks about the war on terror and the various mercenaries we've hired to fight it, although she writes that there are many things she can say in fiction that she can't talk about publicly. She also writes in her materials that CIA and Pentagon contacts both warned her about the dangers of writing this book. They are worried about her safety. That the warnings came both when she started the book and after they'd read it. And there are those inside and outside of the government, she writes, who would like to keep certain activities very quiet. She also writes she's been dealing with some rough crowds while researching the books, particularly the mercenaries. She's been threatened. So this is quite a guest for you. Let's go to Sarge in Mississippi. Sarge, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Well, hello, Mark. It's not quite Mississippi anymore. It's Phoenix, Arizona.
Oh, okay. Sarge has moved to Arizona. Fair enough. Go ahead, Sarge. What's your question for my guest?
Yeah, I am very aware of the different aspects of Blackwater USA and, well, Blackwater period. The money that they must be making must be extraordinary. I know in just the New Orleans and Mississippi Gulf Coast, they turn up all over the place there doing security. What would you advise citizens to do to keep these people out of the areas?
RJ?
in the case of New Orleans, I think it was because part of the disaster response, and that has to do with the government, the state governments allowing that to occur. And I believe they entered into an agreement in California for possible disaster response. So if one doesn't want them to be involved and to try to maintain order in whatever fashion it is, that would have to be worked out with lobbying the state government to prevent it from occurring.
So some place like Mississippi, forget it, where the powers that be are just going to make money off of it no matter what.
Right, so I'm not sure that much could be done in that case. And how lucrative the golf course contract, I think those are probably more lucrative than some of what's going on in Iraq. It varies, of course, contract to contract.
Well, RJ, who decides? It's pretty messy down there. Mark,
RJ,
who decides? I'll talk to you later.
Thank you, Sarge, for your call. RJ, who decides who gets the contract, how much the contract is worth? I mean, if Congress isn't doing oversight, are these bureaucrats in the Pentagon or in the CIA that are making these decisions, or does it go up higher?
That's a really interesting comment, particularly in light of the news this week that the Pentagon is going to be, the Defense Intelligence Agency, is going to be outsourcing over $1 billion. Of intelligence services, including the collection and analysis and all the things that we've been talking about. And they said they expect to give this $1 billion award to five or more contractors. Well, that means that they're going to run it in the way that they generally do these giant contracts, which is called an IDIQ, an indefinite delivery, indefinite quantity contract, which means that they put to meet the letter of the law of the federal acquisitions or the federal administrative regulations, they put it out for bid that they want these very broad services done over some time over the next five-year period, and they are looking for places to do it. And they award to the big players, as I said, the big guys, to Booz Allen Hamilton, to Raytheon, to Lockheed, to Cytor, and SAIC. And they, each of these companies, and the small guys involved, have to line up behind one of the big prime contractors in order to have a shot at any of the work.
So now, these contractors, I assume, they give a lot of money in lobbying to these same politicians.
Oh, of course. Yeah, they give it to politicians, and they're in their lobby everywhere that is possible to lobby within legal limits, or at least we hope within legal limits.
So what let me ask you this.
They award things to the big guys, and the small guys have to be lined up behind them. But the really interesting thing is these proposals do not have the specific services that they want people to work on, the specific project. But once the awards are made, all these companies flock to their contacts within, and soon be Defense Intelligence or in other case, similar case, CIA or others, with proposals of what it is that the agency really needed to have and how their company can meet those needs and how easy it is to contract it through these newly available funds. So in many ways, we get the tail wagging the dog. The companies are telling the Pentagon, the companies are telling the CIA, the Office of Director of National Intelligence, what their intelligence needs are and how they can meet them.
So the companies say, hey, we need billions of dollars. America needs intelligence. Hand over the money.
Right. Look, we got this really neat product. We know you got a problem with, are your spies, are your agents that you're running on the ground in, let's say in Iran, are they reliable or not? You know, are you talking to, do you have some, you know, it's hard to keep track from all these guys. We can tell, we can help use our pattern analysis here to be able to see and keep you from going to the wrong people that we already have some flags on or other things. And look, you can get this solved for only whatever, $10 million, or it appears to be. More or less fine here.
I would think spying, though, is as much of an art or even more of an art than a science. I mean, you know, to say whether someone's telling the truth or not, I mean, I realize that there's things like lie detectors, and I'm not even sure these truth serums work, but at the end of the day, a company is saying, we can analyze the chess pieces better than you can and therefore tell who's telling the truth, but I don't know that they can, right? I mean, this is, I don't know that there's no
pattern.
Magic.
Right, you're looking for patterns as to who is known for contact with whom, you know, who that person's been associated with. You're looking for the history of the person, the history of, you know, how well their intel has worked, or, and various things like that. So, you know, you're looking at a lot of different factors, and you're trying to collate that. That's just for this example. And so then they take it to their contracting officer, technical rep, and they say, look, here's what you need. Isn't this cool? You can use this in your branch. We can make you look really good. And this helps meet your need, contract for it. And so,
okay,
so the companies are really, in many ways, starting to call the shots in the CIA. We're already seeing that go on in the Pentagon. It's what goes on with the Air Force, you know, and the big contractors saying, here's the weapon system you need. Look, we've got all the specs here. This is the coolest thing, and it'll solve all your needs. And
kind of
that's the type
hard
of
to
thing
know.
That's going on.
It's kind of hard to know who's in charge sometimes. Malin from New Jersey, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
I was just a little concerned with the it seems though they have something which is political immunity or something thereof. Is that correct?
Great question. Is there immunity for these contractors if they were to, you know, not follow orders? I know, for example, the four guys from Blackwater, I think it was Blackwater, that went to Fallujah and started a whole, you know, new battle in the war of Iraq. Is there immunity if these guys spy on the wrong people or, you know, breach national security or, you know, go and do things that they're not ordered to do? Are they protected or can someone sue them?
That's an excellent question because we haven't seen those things. We're just starting to see some of it litigated. I mean, for example, the involvement of Jepson, a subsidiary of Boeing, in the rendition flight, taking detainee prisoners to the black sites. The ACLU has filed a lawsuit and had various people who were taken to the black sites, various detainees, join that lawsuit, claiming that the private corporations are liable. And so it's going to be interesting to watch that work its way through the courts. My guess is they'll use the CIA Act of 47, which basically gives the director of the CIA, and now it's director of national intelligence, the authority to override just about any laws in order to keep national security, to keep the country safe.
So even though they work for private corporations,
use that as a Trump.
Even though they work for private corporations, they'll claim government immunity because of who's
hiring
them.
Since they're doing it on behalf of the government, I mean, I think that's the reason Blackwater is pretty clearly is litigating the suit against the four family members, because they have a history of being a little bit more sympathetic to the families and treating them a little bit better. But they don't want to be held accountable as part for everything they do because they're working in the theater of war.
Malin, you have another question.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I had seen several programs on television which had to do with times of emergency, which the government is preparing for, and for martial law. There, if the government were to instruct martial law, or in whatever you call it, state martial law in the country, state police would work hand in hand. And, in fact, I seem to get the impression that the Blackwater police were working with the local police, but not really telling them exactly who they were, but they worked with a higher state authority than, say, just, you know, other state police.
I will ask that question to RJ, and I want to thank you very much for your call, Malin. Two very good questions. RJ, what about the preparation for martial law? I mean, is there any idea that these private corporations are working with our government for emergency circumstances where they might have to do something like that?
I believe I believe that Schwarzenegger, as governor of California, has an agreement with the company Blackwater to come in an emergency situation, such as national disaster, say if the big one hit San Francisco, and help provide security and law and order, which we saw, you know, it did get out of hand in New Orleans. And the response, of course, the response was very ad hoc, including, you know, Blackwater sending its people down there. There was clearly not the command and control that everyone would like to see in place. And hopefully they're putting that in place in California, and citizens need to watch and make sure that that's occurring so that it is the government official that's calling the shots in the end.
Again, thank you, Malin, for two very, very good questions. Let me go to Eric in Vermont. Eric, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hi. Good afternoon.
Hi, welcome.
How are you doing?
We're doing good. I got a terrific guest here. What's your question for?
Yes, you do. I'm absolutely just dumbfounded. Miss Hillhouse, am I correct, ma'am?
Yes, it's Dr. Hillhouse.
Dr. Hillhouse, I apologize. You're very interesting. You have seemed to have an awful lot of background. I have some dental problems. I'm going through dental stuff. I don't talk good. That's the way it is. I have a lot of questions regarding a lot of the domestic types of activities that may or may not be going on. You may or may not be aware of Rex 84 and some of the concentration camps that purportedly have been built around this country, and I was wondering if you had any sort of insight as to some of the staffing of those or anything related to that, and then I'll get off and let your wisdom and your knowledge and background speak for itself. Thank you.
Thank you
much.
For your call, Eric. Great, thank you.
Great person.
Thank you, Eric.
Dr. Hillhouse or RJ, any secret prisons in the United States? We know of some that are in Eastern Europe and abroad.
There are no secret prisons that I'm aware of in the United States, and that would kind of defeat the purpose of having secret prisons, because the whole idea is you have it out of U.S. Court jurisdiction. That's
so the whole purpose of them is so that...
setting foot on U.S. soil. So
okay.
It wouldn't make that much sense to have one domestically, because then the courts and the multiple layers of government would try to get involved. So I would be quite shocked if it were such.
Okay. We're going to take another break. But when we come back, I've got a question for you, and that is, how do we ever know whether the private contractors are choosing the right people? I mean, to work for the government, to work for the CIA, even to work, as I did, for the House of Representatives, they put you through a background check. How do we know that there aren't spies within these contracting organizations? That'll be my question when we come back. Folks, if you want to call in, the toll-free number, 877-4HEAD-ON, 877-443-2366. We'll be right back after this.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Vlad, Wally, and Doofy are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. Just hop on by and see the boys at WD40.com. A place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
From the Night Sound Studios, here's Charm City's very own, sassy and classy, Erica Richards.
Join us at Night Sounds every Saturday night at 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern for a unique musical experience. You'll hear featured segments like One Hit Wonders, Under the Covers, and Night Sounds dedications hosted by yours truly, Erica Richards. To request a dedication, please contact Erica Richards at billyshearsmusic.com. That's Erica with a K and Shears, Shears. To reach Billy Shears, direct your email to nightsounds@billyshearsmusic.com. We'll be waiting for you this Saturday evening.
This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
It must have been prayer meeting with Reverend Brother Bob.
See, hey, Peter, welcome to the program.
You absolutely know that you cannot mention Robert Sunday without conjuring me. This is a known fact.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right. Well, sometimes I do it on purpose.
You know, the thing that kills me, God just continues to punk Robert Sunday. after time, and it goes back for years, Let's just talk a minute about his business venture. From 91 to 94, he was involved in something called Calo Vita, and it was a multi-level marketing company that breached that pyramid scheme.
Yeah, like Amway.
Sold beauty products and healthcare products. Oh, they had a product called Sea of Galilee Mud Mask.
No, they did not.
Oh, yes, they did.
You know.
Bob, as a heart attack, I'm serious.
Sea of Galilee Mud Mask?
Oh, yes, it was part of the product line.
Prayer meeting edition of Head On with Bob Kincaid, Wednesday nights, 6 to 9 p.m. here on the Head On Radio Network.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Final segment I have with Dr. RJ Hillhouse. She is the author of Outsource. It is a novel about the mercenaries that work in the war on terror. And obviously, it is, although it is fiction, it is based on exactly what is going on in Iraq and in the war on terror. RJ, I wanted to ask you about how we know whether or not these people hired by the corporations are themselves trustworthy.
One is many of those people are the people who used to work for the CIA and for these very same government agencies that are now in the private corporations, and they all go the same type of background, regular background checks. But the interesting thing is, of course, the background checks that are also what's going on throughout the government are based on rooting out foreign agents and agents of terrorist organizations, but they're not set up to look for people who are working or basically just being crooks or working in their own self-interest or corporate interest. That no one is looking at that possibility.
I was thinking of Aldrich Ames. Wasn't he trying just to make money off of selling secrets? So that's the fear, people who are just have their hands in the government's pockets and might indeed become spies for the other side, not because they believe in Islamic fundamentalism, but because they can cash in from Islamic fundamentalism.
Yeah, and one big concern I have is what happens on down-in-their-luck spies when one company loses a contract to another company. It's like a giant game of musical chairs, and there are never enough chairs as when the music started, and someone's always left standing or unemployed, and what do these unemployed spies do? I mean, their services are for hire. And, of course, they could be for hire by foreign interests or interests of terrorist organizations. And that issue needs to be looked at rather seriously.
People in the chat room, we have a chat room here at the Head On Radio Network, are asking a little bit more about the secret camps. While you say there aren't any in the United States, you don't deny that there are a number of secret camps that are abroad, do you?
I think we're talking about the black sites, the CIA prisons that Bush claimed were emptied out last September. It's my personal belief that they do still exist, and that's what I'm much more comfortable in discussing in fiction. And if they would still exist, how I would posit the way to have them continue existing and get around the Hamadi versus Rumsfeld Supreme Court case, which might refresh people's memory. Last year, the Supreme Court found that the constitutional guarantees of habeas corpus and others had to be extended to detainees, even if they were held by the CIA, even if that were abroad in other jurisdictions. So the way to solve that, and the way I write about it in Outsourced, is by simply privatizing the prisons, because then it's not the government that's holding the detainees. So, and the corporations, of course, don't have the same requirements to extend constitutional guarantees to detainees.
So even if it is illegal under the Supreme Court decision for the U.S. military to hold Mr. X in a secret prison in Romania, it may be legal for the U.S. government to hire Blackwater to hold Mr. X in a secret prison in Romania.
I've never heard Blackwater implicated.
I'm just trying to get an example.
Corporation X to provide site security for the black sites, or Corporation Y to provide facilities management for the black sites, would in theory be one way to work around the Constitution if one wanted to keep these open, or at least to attempt to work around the Constitution.
I've got Bob from Massachusetts on the line. Bob, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hi, Mark, and hi to your guest, RJ.
Hi.
I have a question. My question has to do with Blackwater. After viewing the movie, what do you call it, Blackwater, The Rise of the World's Most Powerful Mercenary Army, there was a little bit of information in there about how the founder of Blackwater, Eric Prince, is a Christian fundamentalist who happens to have married into the Amway family with his name, Dick DeVos. He married his Dick DeVos' sister. What I'm wondering, what my question has to do with, is how far has the Christian right, the fundamentalist, infiltrated our security services, and what kind of effect could that have in the future when our security services will be basically doing their bidding?
That's a great question, Bob. Dr. Hillhouse?
You know, I really don't think that it has at all, and I think the religion or the faith of Mr. Prince has been manipulated for political gains here. He is a devout Roman Catholic. I mean, I've talked to people about him who've known him and interacted with him, and I know that some have said that in the management of Blackwater, that it's, you know, some kind of a fundamentalist or crusader Christian organization, and I don't think it couldn't be further from the truth. You know, I know several people who've worked there, et cetera, and that is not the corporate culture by any means.
Well, I'm just wondering, because I forgot the name of the general. You may remember, RJ, the general that talked about a crusade.
Boykin.
Yes, Boykin, of course. I'm sorry, that's exactly the person I was thinking of. I wonder to what extent there are people that join up in the war on terror, not necessarily to be a patriotic Americans defending our country, but because they have some idea of religious hegemony and they want to promote that. Do you see that going on?
Or is Boykin
really the exception rather than the rule?
He was a class to himself. I think those who have known him would agree. He was also quite competent in many ways, and that's how he was able to rise to the level that he did in serving his country.
So he's the exception rather than the rule.
I think that really is more the exception. That, I mean, if there were, and there's nothing that gives me the willies faster than the Christian right, if they seem to have infiltrated this, I would be one of the first people screaming about it, but I haven't seen any sign of it. And I think in the case of Blackwater, I think it's been grossly exaggerated.
Okay, fair enough. Another thing that people are writing about in the chat room here is a program called Rex 84. I've never heard of it. I don't know what you know about it.
I don't know anything about it. Sorry to disappoint.
Okay, fair enough. I hadn't heard of it either, but a number of people writing in. Folks, there's only a few minutes left, but if you have information on it and you want to call in, please do so. So one of the things you write in your materials is that up to 75% of our personnel working abroad in places like Islamabad, the capital of Pakistan, are not CIA, but indeed hired by the CIA. How do we monitor their loyalty? I mean, how do we know who these people are working for? Obviously, they say they're working for us, but how can we know if they're not indeed working for a foreign government as well?
Well, they wouldn't get any follow-on contracts, that's for sure. People would be jailed.
Well, I mean secretly. Obviously,
they're
mean openly.
They're generally, the people who go into this are patriotic, loyal Americans. The majority of people, I don't think there's any worry. I think it's the same worries that we would have that, you know, as I said, the unemployed people, the corporate conflict of interest. I think that is a much larger concern than people working for the enemy. I think that would not be as big of an issue.
Okay, so the real concern then is corruption. The real concern is not so much working for the enemy, but corruption. People who are claiming that we need all these military things that we don't need and taking billions of dollars of taxpayer money because that's their loyalty to their corporation rather than to the government.
Right. I think the real issues that we need to guard against are corruption, are these conflicts of interest, of the potential manipulation of U.S. foreign policy through manipulation of the president's daily brief and others. And that's the type of thing that I've written about in Outsource.
Dr. Hillhouse, I want to thank you very much for coming here on the program. You've got about a minute left. Is there anything else that I haven't covered that you want to make sure my listeners know about?
I think that the best place I could steer your listeners is to take a look at Outsource in order to think about how and see how we're actually fighting the war on terror. It's a very real spy novel, and I've heard that back from people in the Pentagon as well as from CIA. People have been shocked as to how different it was and how realistic. And at the same time, I would suggest people to go to my website, thespywhobuildme.com.
thespywhobuildme.com.
Where I regularly cover these topics.
Terrific. And you can, by the way, folks, there's a link to the Amazon site where you can buy Outsourced from my website at radioinsidescoop.com. Thank you very much for your insight and for coming here on the show, Dr. Hillhouse. And tune in next week for more of the Inside Scoop. This is Mark Levine signing off.
Good afternoon, and welcome to America Back on Track here on the Quality News Network. It's Tuesday, October 16th, halfway through the 10th month. I'm your correspondent, Tony Seaton. Joining us after a look at the news, Norman Solomon, author of Made Love, Got War, is going to be with us. I've known Norman for a bunch of years. He's been on the right side of a lot of important issues. And we're going to talk about some history and where we might go to have more love and less war. That doesn't sound too simplistic. Roar. Chris McKay will be with us in the second half hour. He's an inventor. We don't have a lot of those these days, or at least not ostensibly. People say, what do you do? Oh, I'm an inventor. Well, he's invented, among other things, a very neat watch, which has a magnifying glass and a light in it, and keeps time. Amazing. And isn't expensive. Today's Seaton Notes is on The New Yorker. Our quote of the day is from H.L. Mencken, who said, the worst government is the most moral. One composed of cynics is often very tolerant and humane, but when fanatics are on top, there is no limit to oppression. Don't we know that? Fundamentalism. Some observations on the news from the I Told You So department. Remember when the Congress passed the Medicare so-called reform bill several years ago? It was a highly corrupt process. First, the Republicans insisted that they wouldn't pass a measure that would cost more than $400 billion. So the Department of Health and Human Services came up with a figure of $398 billion. Actually, that was the figure they gave the House. Their own number was $536 billion, which was low, actually. Now the projected cost is somewhere between $720 and $750 billion, and you can be sure that will rise. HHS also spent $12 million on producing and distributing video news releases, which dozens of television stations, shame on them, aired. They masqueraded as news reports on how good the bill would be. There were charges of threats and bribes also being made to House members who eventually, after a record and irregular voting period, passed this scurrilous payout to the medical industry. Shame on the AARP for supporting the measure. The outrage of the critics was that this was a boon not for Americans needing health care, but for the drug companies who were allowed to set prices wherever they wanted and wouldn't have to negotiate prices as they do, for instance, with the Veterans Administration. Now that you are reminded why this was such a big mistake, let us update you. The drug and insurance companies reaped an incredible windfall last year, as expected, an extra $15 billion last year. This according to a report from the Democratic staff of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee. Maybe they'll do something about it. Of course, they are all on a different health care program, so they're not as concerned. Many conservatives and other misinformeds insist that our health care system is working just fine, thank you, pointing to the huge amount of money we spend on it as proof. They overlook the fact that, according to the World Health Organization, we rank 37th in the world in health care, 43rd in infant mortality, 82nd in teen pregnancies. Now, a new statistic is out that shows American women dying during or just after pregnancy at a far higher rate than many other countries, including relatively poor countries such as Macedonia and Bosnia. The rate of maternal deaths in the United States is 10 times higher than that in Ireland, and deaths among black women in our country is 4 times higher than whites. The Guardian of London reports that the Israeli army is seizing vast swatches of Palestinian land surrounding 4 West Bank villages. It seems they intend to significantly expand Jewish settlements around Jerusalem. As our colleague Stephen Pizzo put it so aptly, can someone explain to me what motivates Israelis to do things like this, which only serve to reinforce negative stereotypes of Jews? I mean, Hamas propagandists could not do a better job of it. You just don't expropriate other people's property and expect good relations after. Not that the Palestinians are blameless, just that this kind of stuff simply perpetuates the current cycle of hatred and finger-pointing. If Israel needs to make accommodations for existing settlements along the Green Line, fine, negotiate them. But just declaring that's ours now, too, is indefensible. Stephen Pizzo, he'll be with us Friday in our second half hour. Frank Rich had a scathing piece in the New York Times on Sunday on the disgrace of Americans allowing torture in their name. He illuminated his article with a quote from former Bush supporter Andrew Sullivan, who reported that our enhanced interrogation techniques have obscene roots. He said, quote, Verschlager Vernehmung, which I of course mispronounced, is German, Enhanced or intensified interrogation was the exact term innovated by the Gestapo to describe what became known as the third degree. It left no marks. It included hypothermia, stress positions, and long-time sleep deprivation. Isn't it nice to know that our interrogators... let's put this in right terms. We learned our torture from the Nazis. In Barceloneta, Puerto Rico, tenants of a housing project were warned that they would be evicted if they did not give up their pets. The town hired a contractor to take the animals to a shelter. Tenants said that when the animal control people came, they surrounded the housing project and wouldn't let people out with their pets. Instead, the pets were gathered up and the workers threw the dogs and cats, dozens of them, over the side of a bridge 50 feet up, killing most of them. Some survived with broken spines and legs. Some were reunited with their owners. The contractor says his people didn't kill any animals. Larry of the Stalls isn't leaving. He's promising to make life more difficult for his Republican brethren who trashed him when word got out about his playing footsie in the Minneapolis airport men's room. The Idaho senator had held a ceremonial post as co-Senate liaison for the Mitt Romney presidential campaign, but at the time of his admission, Craig's admission, Romney, the acme of compassion and decency, called Craig's activities disgraceful and disgusting. Craig quit the campaign, of course, but yesterday in an interview said that he thought Romney was beneath pond scum. Those weren't his exact words. He said that, quote, Romney threw me under his campaign bus, and added, quote, he not only threw me under his campaign bus, but he backed up and ran over me again. Meanwhile, Craig's lawyers have filed an appeal in the case of Craig's arrest and guilty plea conviction. Okie dokie. We should get some music there. There it is. You're tuned to America Back on Track, and we will be back with Norman Solomon, Made Love, Got War, right after these messages.
I know your secret. Nobody told me, but I know. Every time your little girl wants you to read her a story and you tell her you're too busy, I know. When your boy needs help with homework and you tell him to ask his mother, I know. Your wife asks you whether the warranty is still good on the broken dishwasher, and you tell her you're too tired to look for it. I know. You're very good at keeping a secret, but it does take a lot of effort to keep